You know, Gary, when we started our program this hour, I was kind of teasing back and forth with Cal about security on a Mac and some problems I've run into this week. Can you think 16 years ago or more than that when we started the program, the whole subject of security or cybersecurity, I don't even know if the term was even existing at that time.
I don't think the term existed at all. We were worried about helping people get on and
get on
modem and knit strings.
Yeah.
Modems talking to each other and all the funny noises and everything. And that was, a lot of the callers had that problem. Now it's ubiquitous, right? People can get on anywhere. And unfortunately, so can the bad guys.
Yeah.
And there's so much of us connected today that that you don't even know where sometimes it's coming. Some of the bad things that can happen, where they're coming from today.
Right, I know, and our two guys here, Cal and Ed, I know we're working within your corporations. You're constantly working on security as well, Ed, right? It's a big part of what you do.
All the time. A lot of it is automated, through the Microsoft security updates, and a lot of the antivirus is pushed down several times a day. Yeah, so, yeah. And every once in a
while. Major corporations have to.
Every once in a while, there's a major, a little scare, where you got to do some things.
Well, I'm just kind of using this as a background to the fact that we have, in our state of Michigan now, it's become something of a regular event. There is a cyber, what's called the North American International Cyber Summit 2014 that's coming up.
That's right.
And Gary, I know that you're involved in it, and we have somebody very special in the studio with us to talk about that.
That's right. Brigadier General Michael Stone. Mike, welcome to the program. I should say General, welcome to the program.
Thank you. You said it well, it's almost every year, and the first one was in 2011, and, we made a mistake, I think, when we planned the first one, and as the governor said, we planned too small.
Well, so, and it was the Michigan, yeah. It was the Michigan Cyber Summit for the first 2 years,
yes.
And now it's the International North American Cyber Summit.
Absolutely. So the first time we did this, the original plan when we did the strategic plan, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, we planned to do one every other year. And we knew there would be demand.
Incredible.
And we went to Ypsilanti the first time, and it sold out really quickly. But we were successful in getting Janet Napolitano here. We got Howard Schmidt from the White House here, Congressman Mike Rogers. So when we got that demand, it filled up immediately. And then the next time around, we figured, let's go to a bigger venue. We went out to Novi. Again, in great speakers,
sold out,
and the governor said, guys, we're thinking too small. This is not just about Michigan. Michigan's
right.
Laid its stake in the ground.
That's
this
right.
is now, like he said, like the North American Auto Show. We are laying claim that we are the cybersecurity center of North America, and we're going to have it at Cobo Hall. And lo and behold, I don't think the tickets have sold out, but the sponsorships have sold out weeks ahead of time.
Wow.
And so all the big name, and I don't have the list of corporate sponsors, but the fact
it's
that
huge.
AT&T, Deloitte, absolutely. Google, it's just amazing. Some of the Motorola, Symantec, Unisys, just
big
amazing.
Players internationally and locally, the
just
ESD.
Just amazing. Yeah, some of the players that have signed on, but we grew out of Michigan, and no other state does this, right? And it's only because of our governor that got this started.
It's interesting. Maryland does something similar.
And they were at ours last year, right?
Absolutely. And they've been coming to all of our events lately. they actually were at an event in Grand Rapids at GERCON trying to get our talent out of here. And we were kind of joking with them to leave the room. Really, it's the talent really fight that's going on here.
Isn't that interesting? It's come down to that now.
Oh, absolutely. So Wisconsin just had their first... And they actually reached out to Michigan for help. And I saw, General Dunbar, the Adjutant General of Wisconsin last week, and I asked him how it went. He said it went great. But when I look, God love them. Wisconsin, they're great people. But
Badger.
They got so far to go to catch, to get anywhere near where Michigan
is. It was really because of the governor, though, that got this started. I really like some of the other governors we've had lately, but none of them would have been able to really understand the problems that, and it's because of his background and because of his foresight, I think.
Well, that and his leadership, I'll tell you this. A lot of people in the audience don't know what the National Governors Association is, but all the governors have committees, and 3-4 years ago they formed a cybersecurity committee, and of course, Governor Rick Snyder's co-chair with Governor O'Malley from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
That term just ended, and it has become such a pivotal issue in Washington, D.C. So we, the state of Michigan, the governor's office, a few of us, state police, myself, and a few others, help influence or write policy at the national level. What's the position of the national governors vis-a-vis Congress, federal, state, and our Constitution when it comes to privacy issues?
I know that interagency cooperation is a challenge. Well, we've seen this on the national level after 911, you know,
yes.
And just a huge challenge. How? What do you and the Michigan National Guard bring to the conversation here that's unique?
Well, first of all, it's because of your position as the director of the Joint Chiefs, right? Joint Staff, right?
Well, I was the director of Joint Staff, which is a domestic operations role. So let's answer the first question and talk a little bit, what's the National Guard? Because sometimes we make the assumption that everybody knows what the National Guard is, mm-hmm. and what it does. But in its constitutional role in peacetime, the National Guard works for the governor. We're used to tornadoes, floods, and everybody's
right,
used
right,
to the National
right.
Guard responding.
A citizen army, I think.
A citizen soldier. Right, you know, right. Citizen soldiers. In Michigan, you know, we have 11,000 soldiers in airmen. You know, you've got most people in Southeast Michigan are familiar with Selfridge, our National
right,
Guard
right.
base.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But the bulk of the force is part-time, you know. One in three Air National Guard is full-time, so two-thirds are citizen soldier airmen, and six out of seven Army soldiers are part-time. And in Michigan, we have 44 armories. We have soldiers and airmen from every zip code. So first of all, with that premise, you can go down a path of talent and that kind of
exactly.
thing. But we're 96% federally funded.
Yep.
So there are still people today that don't realize, but your National Guard and your Army Reserve have been deploying quite a bit. You know, our Michigan National
mm-hmm,
Guard
mm-hmm.
has deployed over 24,000 individuals since
wow.
9/11.
Wow.
21
wow.
soldiers have died in combat
wow.
in, for the Michigan Guard. And we are now fully funded when we deploy. Unlike the Vietnam era and post-Vietnam era, when you're used to maybe the old National Guard and weekend warrior kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
we kind of laugh about that today. We are fully resourced, fully trained to go into combat as whole units and have done an amazing job over the last 13 years.
Now, the reason I asked that, Cal, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Just a curious question. We talk a lot about the big picture and how's this for the region, stuff like that. The Cyber Summit, when it boils down to the average me and you, how does that affect us here in Michigan?
How does the summit affect you and I?
Yeah,
well,
the common Joe that uses a computer every day.
Well, okay. So number one, I think the number one thing, if you go to the governor's cyber initiative, the existing one,
mm-hmm.
hint, hint, future product coming out, number one, it all starts with jobs and people. People are the center of gravity. In cybersecurity, in talent, whether it's disaster mitigation, risk mitigation, cyber attack, and deliberate attack, it's about people, and it's about talent and keeping it, training it, and vetting it, and there's different elements of that. It's about jobs. I'll tell you, part of the whole strategy, and the Michigan Guard has a piece of this, is how do we retain our talent in Michigan? You know, how do we turn it around from being a state that's lost, you know, people every year? And look at the resurgence here in Detroit. And, you know, we realized back 4 years ago, we did the first cyber initiative strategy for the governor, the team of us, that we had to flip it around. We were developing talent and losing it to the East and West Coast. How do we create an ecosystem where jobs, companies
uh-huh.
want to come here?
Yeah.
And then think about a citizen soldiers, something the governor picked up on right away. If you're committed to your nation wearing a uniform part-time,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a good civilian job, you're going to stay. Mm-hmm. Both in the Guard, it's a retention
right.
issue for the Michigan
that
National Guard,
right.
and it's a retention issue for that. So General Vadnais, the Adjutant General's my boss, very quickly realized that it wasn't about fighting for force structure. It was about fighting for the right type of units in the future, which I think we have a break coming up
ready
to
go.
Talk about afterwards.
Now, let's talk about that, because let's talk then face towards the future. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, too, is the fact that you kind of straddle both the worlds of the local and the national.
Yes,
and
we have a foot in both worlds.
And because of that, a very valuable role to play. Brigadier General Mike Stone with us. Here is the Assistant Adjutant General for installations in the Michigan National Guard. Back in just a moment to continue this conversation on cybersecurity.
Now back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Thank you very much for being with us. We're talking about the North American International Cyber Summit coming up November 17th at Cobo Center here in Detroit. And with us in studio is Brigadier General Mike Stone, who is the Assistant Adjutant General for Installations of Michigan National Guard and the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Thanks, Mike, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Gary Baker, also part of the organizing of this Cybersecurity Summit coming up on November 16th.
That's right. General Stone is one of the speakers, but we have a number of other really great speakers. And we're able to, as the general was saying, that we're able to attract a lot of that attention because of all of the different things that are going on here, like, you know, the cyber range. You want to talk a little
sure.
bit about that?
Yeah. To wrap up where we were before the break.
Okay.
No, and I'll tie it into the cyber range
okay.
here. The National Guard's got one foot in the Fed, one foot in the state. So,
yep.
you know, we work for the governor, but it gives us unique access. So, for
right.
instance, in the Army, cyber's new. You know, they just created a cyber corps, Army Cyber Command. So we're bringing in Lieutenant General Cardone, who's the
wow.
cyber commander for the U.S. Army.
Wow.
So that's kind of unique to bring him in. And we're bringing in David DeVries, who's the Deputy Chief Information Officer for the Department of Defense. So we're bringing in, and he's a Michigander, by the way.
Oh,
so we're, and so
cool.
we're bringing in these federal operational cyber folks that work mm-hmm. for NSA and the policy guys from the Pentagon to talk the federal side of it vis-a-vis the state. And what's interesting is the federal government's focused, and U.S. Cyber Command does a brilliant job focusing on the top secret domain. But what Michigan decided to focus on was the unclassified domain. We knew Maryland, NSA,
mm-hmm.
and that was part of the deliberate strategy with the governor 3.5 years ago when we rolled out our program. We knew we couldn't get those federal top secret dollars here in Michigan, but we knew darn well with the critical infrastructure, the big three here in Michigan,
right.
the talent, the unclassified domain was not being met. And that's what we've gone after.
And that's as you said, the businesses, like
that's
major corporations, like Big Three and all the rest of them.
So when we look at like the Nigel Francis, his 30-year auto strategy, you know, for MEDC and state government working with the Big Three, cybersecurity and automobiles, I'm sure you've talked about on your show,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that overlaps perfectly with where the Department of Defense
wow.
is trying to secure next-generation weapon systems.
And you really serve as a bridge. With,
yes.
with the Michigan National Guard, you serve as a perfect bridge between the two. Now, let's talk about the cyber range,
yes.
because one of the news items that Mike mentioned, by the way, in his thing was some students using the cyber range.
Yes. So the Michigan cyber range, is the backbone of that is the Merit Network, which
mm-hmm.
is over 4,000 miles of closed fiber. Connects your universities, community colleges, and 67% of your high schools in Michigan. That was one of the main assets we were not utilizing that we went after. So the Michigan Guard, we've connected the 110th Air Wing in Battle Creek, Fort Custer in Battle Creek, Camp Grayling in Battle Creek, and we've secured funding from third parties and non-federal funding to connect Combat Readiness Center, Training Center Alpena, and Selfridge. So we can
wow.
use that tool for training, and the original plan was interagency training, bring
mm-hmm.
in the feds, state, local, how do you respond to a cyber attack, that kind of thing, and be that place where everybody in the country comes to do those large-scale exercises.
Wow. Wow.
So the cyber range has done amazing things, but what we didn't know 3 or 4 years ago when we set out on this course was all the extra demand that's coming with it, and,
mm-hmm.
and the training, the workforce retraining guardsmen. We're going after force structure now in the Michigan Guard, for a signal unit that's a network defense team, over 600 part-time positions, all with IT backgrounds.
Wow.
And we're dispersing them in armories near cities where there's a lot of economic growth. So,
fantastic.
You know, we're going to be sending people off to a lot of active-duty schools, getting NIST NSA certificates,
wow.
coming back, and having some fresh talent that can plug into our corporations in Michigan.
And when you train military personnel, right, in all the
yes.
branches, and you're training them here in Michigan, guess what? They're probably going to stay here.
Exactly. So we're also going after using the Michigan Cyber Range with community college partners and university partners
yeah.
to retrain guardsmen for those NIST NSA certificates, because that'll be a precursor for them getting their military occupational skills.
Sure.
So we're trying to create that ecosystem
wonderful.
Where the Michigan Guard goes after space and cyber assets.
Now, I want to kind of bring things back around to you, Gary, because you're involved in the business panel
that's correct.
In there.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure
you said,
of that.
You know, that the Michigan, the wealth of things we've got going on here are that we're dealing with the non-classified element,
yes.
which is the businesses. And Gary,
that's
I know
right.
that you are involved in a field, your company as a bank. And so security is enormously important for the
yeah, you
companies
think?
Like that.
You know, it's a,
I
it's
want it to
like,
be important.
It's kind of like Willie Sutton, you know, when asked why he robs banks, he said, that's where the money is. Well, guess why the cyber crooks are going after the banks, right?
Absolutely.
And but it's healthcare, and it's trade secrets from our our automotive industry, and just all of our own personal information. By bringing that kind of critical mass together, which is what the governor was doing and is doing with the Cyber Summit and many of the other things, and that's really what General, you're head spearheading.
Absolutely. And, you know, General Vadnay went to the governor last year and asked for a Michigan National Guard tuition bill. Mm-hmm. And we were one of seven states that did not have one. In bipartisan support, unanimously passed the House and Senate. We have a clause in there to use our $4,500 a year for Michigan Guardsmen in good standing for vocational training. So now we're working with Cisco. We're working with Wayne County Community College.
Oh, wonderful.
Alpena Community College, each both got $2.5 million for cyber retraining and targeting veterans. So we're using those dollars to attract talent coming off active duty and retrain them and do tailored classes for NSA NIST certificates here in Michigan.
Boy, there's not only the opportunity for the military, former military, in cyber jobs, right?
Yes.
Security. But, I mean, we don't have enough of them, and we can't get enough of them. And so there's, you know, by having this critical mass here, there's a lot of people out in, maybe in an IT field that isn't security oriented that can go here and, by the way, get a little bit of raise in pay because we can't find people, so we're raising pay to try to bring people in. But people even outside of IT can move into this area, right?
So to kind of get back to Cal's question initially, how does it affect the common Joe? One of the things is it's going to mean odd job opportunities.
Absolutely.
And when people are going in and getting technical degrees, or I have a grandson, for instance, who's going in getting kind of practical degrees at a local community college in computers, for instance, that there would be an avenue for him then to go on and to get a practical training in this kind of an area.
Absolutely. And if you can get the double word score of a citizen soldier, they go off to military training that ties to the civilian and back and forth. We expect, and that's why we have the CIO kitchen cabinet at state
that's
level
right.
that David Behan leads that you're on, Gary.
I know,
we're watching very closely, working with Workforce Development, LARA, the Unemployment Commission, MEDC, Economic Development Corporation, to look where the demand is and align that and to make sure that our talent matches that. And it's really about mission. It's about retention of the Michigan Guard, but it also goes to relevance and we see this also bringing in a lot of federal dollars.
It is.
Yeah, so Cal, we may keep you off the corner this next summer, but getting you involved in some other vocational training to take your skills, you know, maybe into the military.
I don't know. I mean, I'll put on some camo if it make my life much more better. Sure, why not?
And pick up a raise in pay?
I'm curious. Do you take people like, for instance, Cal, out of a professional background and bring them into the National Guard?
Sometimes that happens. We get a lot of demand now at these cyber conferences and luncheons and breakfast series that we do with talent. If somebody is a little more mature in age that hasn't ever been in the military, we also have the Michigan Civilian Cyber Corps, which is something with people with the right credentials that Michigan State Police, the National Guard works with David Behan and Technology Management Budget and has volunteers for that cyber emergency if it ever happens.
Oh, really?
And absolutely.
Cal,
so
they're calling for you.
That's a perfect match. Never been in and mature.
And we're using the Michigan Cyber Range and using a product called AlphaVille to do attack defense scenarios with critical infrastructure, all unclassified, which is driving some people crazy in D.C. But we're on top of the hill and we're moving forward.
Speaking of D.C.
And you just had a tabletop exercise
last Friday.
And again, it's not only about keeping the federal government and the state government and the military secure, but this is spreading out.
Everybody.
I mean, the banks have to participate.
Well, we talked about this once before.
All the other companies,
utilities, the SCADA.
So DTE
Energy, hugely important. Our lights, our power, our water, everything like that is now wrapped up in this.
Our first two partners were DTE Energy and Consumers Energy. Yeah. And I remember I met with Senator Carl Levin about 3.5 years ago after we finished our strategy, briefed him. The next phone call was to DTE, and I didn't even finish my sentence, and they said yes. And they were writing a check to the nonprofit to get this whole program started, to get the product built so that we can do the attack defend.
I bet there's a lot of states that are jealously looking over the border.
Oh, yes. And matter of fact, we're going after a cyber protection team at the National Guard at the federal level. And we had every state in the region called us asking to partner with Michigan because they knew we were going to win that competition.
Boy, as Michigan, as Michigan, it is wonderful to be number one again.
It is. This is an area
clearly
we own the unclassified domain in Cyber
National.
And it's a great, because this unclassified domain, by the way, folks, is no slouch. I mean, it's really the meat of where our lives meet the internet in many, many ways. Hey, General Mike Stone, thank you so much for being with us. This is going to be an incredible conference coming up. It's called the 2014 North American International Cybersecurity Summit. And Gary, I know we'll have a great report from you afterwards.
We're looking forward to it. And people can sign up, go to the online, and it's $99.
www.michigan.gov/cybersecurity, one word.